Hey everyone, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in to. Today, I want to talk about my five cryptocurrencies of highest conviction and what having high conviction in a cryptocurrency means, at least to me. And it's not that it's going to the moon. It's not that it's going to go up 7 billion% or something ridiculous. But I want to talk about five cryptocurrencies that I have a high degree of conviction in. And this is really all based off a tweet that I sent out today where I got a ton of fantastic topics, a ton of great questions. But I tweeted out earlier today thoughts on video topics for today. And a number of people, John Pendlebury being the first one, who asked the question here of what are your highest alt convictions during this correction? And I wanted to just take out altcoins and talk about all cryptocurrencies that I have a high degree of conviction in. And there were a number of other questions there as well that I wanted to touch on, including some information about the BitGrail, Nano, XRB hack, insolvency issue, whatever anybody wants to call it, and dive into all of that today during this point of discussion. So kicking it off with John Pendlebury's tweet here about my highest alt convictions during this correction. And when I'm looking at this, I have looked to stack new cryptocurrency or to build on positions as we've corrected. And the biggest one I've built in terms of my position in general has been Bitcoin. It's not an altcoin. And that's kind of why I renamed part of the subject discussion here. But obviously, Bitcoin is not an altcoin. Bitcoin is the OG, the granddaddy of it all. But when I look at it, and it might sound stupid, it might sound simple, but when I look at Bitcoin right now, I am really bullish about the future of Bitcoin. And I know it certainly has its issues. There are a lot of detractors of Bitcoin. There are a lot of people that don't love Bitcoin, but it certainly has a nice roadmap and future in front of it. When it comes down to Coinbase implementing SegWit, when it comes down to growing number of nodes and users on Lightning Network, even though Lightning Network is nowhere near fully ready, the continued adoption of Lightning Network and the people that are actually putting time, development hours, and man, woman power into Lightning Network, I remain very bullish on that, and I do think Bitcoin is in for while I have no really clue about the short term, I think long term Bitcoin is something that I still remain very bullish on. And it is probably, while I've had certain points of time in my crypto life where I've had, not necessarily been a Bitcoin maximalist ever, but where I've had varying degrees of conviction with Bitcoin, Bitcoin is probably my highest degree of conviction right now when it comes down to it. Now, that's the most basic one. Very, you're probably watching this like, hey, whatever. Yeah, of course, it's Bitcoin. But I do have four others that I will get into. But what I will say with this is I would love if you are watching this on YouTube, I would love for you to comment below with your five highest conviction cryptocurrencies and why. I'd love to see the reasoning behind it. It could be a short reason, but I'd love to hear the five highest conviction cryptocurrencies that you have and why. And if you're listening on the podcast, shoot me a tweet at @crypto_Bobby. Would love to hear your five highest conviction cryptocurrencies and why. Now, the second one that I will say here is 0x. And while we're going to get into this later as far as the BitGrail Nano issues, I do think that 0x in my mind is one of my highest conviction cryptocurrencies because of the potential of decentralized exchanges. I realize that decentralized exchanges are quite a ways off in terms of the level of volume that the centralized exchanges have, the user experience that the centralized exchanges have. There is a lot to improve upon when it comes down to decentralized exchanges. However, I believe that 0x is one of the farthest along in that process, and the relayers that have been building on top of 0x are very interesting to me. And I do think that there is going to be a point in time where decentralized exchanges and the development, the work that's being done on them, are really going to catch up to the centralized exchanges. Will we ever see a point where centralized exchanges no longer exist? I doubt it, but they will eat into the market share of centralized exchanges. They will eat into the volume of centralized exchanges. And the idea of storing crypto on a ledger or a treasure and not ever having to put that on a centralized exchange, trusting a centralized exchange with that, simply sending it to a smart contract. Obviously, there are issues with smart contracts, but I have a high degree of conviction in the overall outlook of 0x. And when I say conviction, I'm not simply saying, I think that the price is going to appreciate. when I say conviction, I think that this cryptocurrency is going to have use and be useful and have a legitimate role in this ecosystem for a long time. So 0x is my second one. The third one, this is kind of cheating a little bit, but I'm going to say Zcash slash Monero. I personally have a holding of Zcash right now. I don't have a holding of Monero, but I am very much interested in Monero and potentially building a holding of Monero. And I do think that privacy coins are going to be very, very important in the future. I think the element, the aspect of privacy is incredibly interesting to high net worth individuals as well as to nefarious individuals, whatever you want to say. But the privacy coin area of cryptocurrency is something that I have a very high degree of conviction in. And in my opinion, the two that are doing it best right now are Zcash and Monero. However you want to say they're doing it best, I think both Zcash and Monero have the two highest likelihoods of success. They're both the largest two privacy-focused cryptocurrencies, and they do things in different manners. Privacy is essentially optional with Zcash. It doesn't have to be a private transaction. Monero, there is no optionality with privacy. And a lot of people say when you talk about Monero, you know, if a cryptocurrency is private, if the privacy is optional in a cryptocurrency like it is in Zcash, it isn't really private. However, the counter argument to that point would be there are a lot of large scale users that, and whatever it might be, high net worth individuals, institutions, whoever it might be, that demand a certain element of privacy but don't need private transactions all the time. So something like Zcash would be a better fit. But I think both, and again, cheating, but Zcash and Monero is my number three highest degree of conviction. And number four, I'll say Ethereum. And I do believe Ethereum is facing substantial pressure from competition, whether it's EOS, whether it's Cardano, whether it's NEO. However, Ethereum has grown extremely well. And one of the big reasons why I have an incredibly high degree of conviction on Ethereum is because the level of development and the number of people that are working on Ethereum and the number of people that are building on top of Ethereum. Granted, just because there are a lot of devs working on Ethereum right now, just because there are a lot of ERC-20 tokens and utility products and utility platforms being on top of Ethereum right now, does not mean that they can't port over to something like Cardano in the future or move to NEO or move to Stellar or to EOS. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the case, but the more work that's done on the Ethereum platform, the more knowledge that individuals have of Solidity, the more devs that are working on it, it creates a really interesting rolling effect, kind of a snowball effect. And I think that that is one of the big reasons why I have a massive degree of conviction in Ethereum moving forward. Outside of just the competition, there's also the issues of, there's also the Ethereum Classic type issue of immutability and some of the governance concerns about Ethereum. But with all that being said, when I look at it, no cryptocurrency out there, in my opinion, I don't think any cryptocurrency out there is even close to being perfect right now. So I do think Ethereum is really interesting in the long run and one of my highest degree conviction bets. Now, the last one is something that I have a pretty minuscule holding in, but I have been very interested in this company. And I've tweeted about them a few different times. I got one of my, I think it was my second disbursement of basic attention token recently from the Brave team, from Brave Software. And basic attention token slash Brave browser is one that I think is, when it comes down to it, it's smaller. It's a moonshot. It's definitely kind of a moonshot. I mean, they're competing against incredibly difficult companies to win against when you're talking about Google with Google Chrome, Microsoft with Edge, Mozilla, you know, Apple, Safari. Those are not easy. Number one, those are not easy browsers to compete against. Number two, not only are you competing against the browsers, but you're also competing against basically an industry ad model. However, I do think when it comes down to it, basic attention token is probably one of the more interesting plays. And I think I have a high degree conviction in their potential for success in the long run. Do I think that they are going to be the only browser ever? No. Do I think that they are going to reshape the overall landscape of digital advertising? Not necessarily, but I do think that there are more and more people that are using Brave Browser, and the team is actually executing on a vision, and the vision works, which is more than I could say probably about 95% of the other cryptocurrency projects out there. So I think Basic Attention Token is, you know, when it comes down to it, I think a lot of these Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the privacy plays, I think, are all pretty cut and dry, high conviction bets. And I didn't want to just go through the top five. So when I'm talking about 0x here, and there's obviously competition with 0x between AirSwap, whom I'm having on the show later this week, as well as Kyber, as well as some other, you know, BitShare, some of the other decentralized exchange platform plays out there. But Basic Attention Token is one that perhaps a little bit smaller than you might be thinking, but I think from a product perspective, they are actually executing. And as somebody who is using the product, as well as a verified publisher on Brave, and has kind of gone through the full life cycle experience of becoming a verified publisher, working with individuals, having people utilize Brave to contribute Basic Attention Token to me, and understand how they're working with the basically how they're working with ad revenue, essentially, not really ad revenue, but Basic Attention Token. I think that's a pretty fascinating approach. And I think a lot of people do like that. Still very early on, but I have a high degree of conviction in that continually growing forward and forward as they improve the Brave browser, as they make the technology a lot stronger. I think it could be a really interesting one in the long run. So going back to that, my five highest degree cryptocurrencies the five highest conviction I really have in terms of cryptocurrencies right now, Bitcoin leading the way, 0x for decentralized exchanges. I think decentralized exchanges, like I said, early on, but I think there's a ton of potential there, and I have a high degree of conviction in 0x. Privacy coins, but specifically Zcash/Monero, I think are the two that are ultimately going to win that game. I don't have a decisive vision as far as which one is, so I'll cheat and give two. Ethereum, the platform play that has the most, basically the most human capital and probably human capital development work being done on it, as well as actual capital being ICO'd and all types of capital really involved in the ETH landscape. And the last thing is Basic Attention Token, a little bit more of a small scale cryptocurrency, but something that's actually executing on a vision, I think has a really interesting use case. So those are the five. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, let me know in the comments what your five would be. I would be very interested in hearing that, but also please just include a reasoning as well, because everybody can say, hey, this is going to the moon, whatever. But if it's not, if there is no level of explanation there, I think that kind of invalidates it. So that's definitely something that, you know, I'd love to hear from you. And if you're on the podcast, shoot me a tweet at @crypto_Bobby. That'd be fantastic. So going back to a couple other questions here as well, somebody else had mentioned BitGrail hacked, loss of millions worth of Roblox Nano. So if you're not familiar with this, you probably are if you've been on Twitter recently, but there has been a massive issue with BitGrail, which is an exchange, a smaller scale exchange, but they were one of the only places to initially get Roblox XRB, which recently rebranded to Nano. And they were hacked, I don't want to say they're hacked because there's a lot of disputes there, but basically there was a big issue with Roblox Nano, where basically over $150 million over $170 million has essentially been stolen. And there's been a blame game going on now as well with both the BitGrail team, the exchange, and with the core development team at Nano/Roblox. And the core development team has been pretty active, posting on Medium, talking about insolvency, talking about BitGrail's insolvency, updating users. There's not a lot that seems like can be done right now. There was some really terrible development and maintenance going on with the BitGrail team. And it looks like for the most part, this issue was more lying on the end of BitGrail than it was on Nano. However, there's some pretty rough things that came out too, where the Roblox team essentially endorsed and kind of calmed their calm their community down a little bit. So I don't want to say that, you know, this is, it seems to me off of the initial analysis that this is really an issue with BitRail. They screwed up badly and allowed for double, triple spending and a lot of other fraudulent activities essentially with Nano on their exchange. However, the Ryblox team, as you can see here on this tweet, this has happened kind of all over the place. But on January 2nd, they said, we are working closely with BitRail on a node issue discovered due to the scale that BitRail is processing transactions. All funds are safe and we are working with them to resume deposits and withdrawals as soon as possible. Thank you for your patience. And then recently somebody, this was back on February 4th, Zach Shapiro, one of the lead devs at Nano, said, somebody tweeted him and said, is BitRail a scam? They said, no, they just have a tremendous amount of verifications and backlog and trying to do KYC, hoping they have a lot more this week. Again, there were some issues with, there's some issues going on with BitRail, and the Nano team and Zach Shapiro, one of the lead devs there, had kind of repeatedly calmed the community down. And they had said, and again, Zach Shapiro on January 12th, funds are safe on BitRail. It's an issue with the node, which we're working hard to fix. Again, funds are safe. So my long-term summary, or my kind of short summary of this, is BitRail really screwed the pooch. Technically, they had really no idea what they were doing. The development team did a terrible bit of work. At best, they were incompetent, technically incompetent. At worst, they were just completely fraudulent. They communicated with the Nano dev team. The Nano dev team took that communication probably at more face value, didn't have as much information as they would have liked to, and advocated for the BitRail team to calm their community down when certain things were going on, like not being able to withdraw your Nano or XRP, requiring additional KYC checks, all of which seemed like BitRail was essentially buying time to kind of recoup more funds. So that's something that it's a very unfortunate situation. I think it goes back to the point where centralized exchanges, there are going to continue to be issues across the board, whether it's just fraud, whether it's fraudulent activity, whether it is companies that simply don't know what they're doing, because there are a lot of them. There are a lot of exchanges. And going back to the conversation I had with Charles Hoskinson recently, where he talked about the problems that exchanges have had and how they basically built themselves up from scratch, where, you know, hey, we're going to have maybe 100,000 concurrent users or 50,000 concurrent users, and all of a sudden they have 1 million concurrent users, or we're going to process X many transactions per second, and they just get overwhelmed in the growth of cryptocurrency. Like, I don't think BitRail's traffic, they were one of the first and only places to get Ryblox. And once Ryblox started pumping, people started going there, using it more often. BitRail became a little bit more popular because of that. And who knows if they were actually built for that level of usage. And that's something you have to take and consider with these centralized exchanges. Now, decentralized exchanges, again, aren't perfect. We're not near there yet. But it goes to the point of getting your cryptocurrency off of the exchanges and into a hardware wallet, into somewhere safe, into cold storage, into a paper wallet, and just being careful, because it is not worth losing your cryptocurrency. It's a terrible, terrible thing to happen to people, and centralized exchanges will continue to be a point of failure in the cryptocurrency ecosystem, at least in my opinion. Now, one of the last things, and this is a question from Nick at Papas Angelo. He said, hey, Bobby, first, thanks for your content. Not sure if you've talked about it already, but handling emotions in the market, particularly tips on holding when your stash becomes many times your salary. This is an interesting point of discussion, because this implies that you're doing well if your crypto stash is many times your salary. And if that is the case, there are definitely a couple things that you want to do. The first, going back to the BitRail point, is security. You want to be extremely, extremely smart with what you're doing, and you really need to treat it with more respect than you might treat a crypto investment if you have $500 in it. If you have multiple times your salary, you wouldn't keep that cash under the, you know, you wouldn't keep that money underneath your mattress, or you wouldn't keep that just lying around somewhere. You wouldn't keep that sitting on your front porch. So why would you do the same thing with crypto? So number one, I think you should, If you have a significant holding of crypto, you need to take security with extreme, extreme precaution. That means hardware wallets. That means cold storage. That means, you know, safety deposit boxes. That means moving it around. That means physical security. There's a lot of things from an OPSEC perspective. Very, very individual specific passwords. There are a number of things that you can do. A lot of articles out there, but the biggest thing is number one, security is a massive point. Number two, I think diversification isn't a bad thing at all. Depending upon how much it is in crypto, I know there's a lot of people out there that have made a ton of money, and then this market pullback happens, and they're thinking, "Oh my God, you know what happens? I could have just, you know, paid off a ton of debt, or I could have paid off all my student loans, or I could have paid off my house, and now it's half of that, or 70% of that." So, you know, if there's a point in your life where you have a significant holding of cryptocurrency where withdrawing or cashing some of that would be massively life-changing for you, I would highly encourage you to think about doing so. You know, obviously every situation is individual, but if you have opportunities on a, if you have an opportunity where cashing out some of your cryptocurrency or all of it, whatever, you know, you really choose, but where cashing out some of that is massively life-changing for you, I would consider you to take, you know, look at those options for sure. I don't think that's bad at all. You know, whether it's paying off your student debt or paying off your house or something like that, you know, you got to think that, you got to take those things into consideration. And then also from a diversification standpoint, if there are other assets out there, if there's real estate, if there's other things, you know, you want to diversify into, then certainly go for that. As far as the emotions go, it all comes down to the degree of conviction that you have. I know there are people out there that have multi-million dollar holdings of Bitcoin, of Ethereum, of other cryptocurrencies, but they are extremely secure. They are extremely safe with it. They keep their crypto in cold storage, and they trust that even though there might be short-term market movements, that in the long term, those assets will appreciate over perhaps anything else that they might be looking for. So when they look at that, they are comfortable keeping that stuff in cold storage and being basically hands off with it and just kind of holding on when times get tough. So that helps, I think, really just developing a high degree of conviction in the assets that you hold, because if you don't have that, it's really tough to maintain your emotions. And the last thing too, and it kind of goes back into the point of security, but removing physical access, I think, is something that's helped me quite a bit. You know, when you have a ledger and you can put that in somewhere outside of easy access, if it's somewhere where you have to get in a car and drive to, if it's somewhere that's like a safety deposit box at a bank or something else where you literally have to drive to get in a car, or there is a significant verification process, or there's a multiple day process to actually have access to that cryptocurrency for security reasons, that lack of physical access also helps to handle your emotions, because if you see the market crash 10% or whatever, you might, if you have that easily accessible on an exchange, you might be like, "Oh my God, I gotta sell. However, if that's sitting in a safety deposit box in a bank, in a hardware wallet, or in a paper wallet or something like that, then it's a lot harder for you to actually go through that process. So that's one piece of recommendation there. And again, as always, none of this is financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. This is just my general opinion. But I think that would be, you know, that's something that kind of helps me to deal with things. But the biggest thing is security. Don't lose your cryptocurrency. It's happened to far too many people. You have to treat it like you would any other legitimate investment out there, because if you don't, it could really hurt you in the long run. So that is my overall thought process on that. Outside of the questions, first of all, I appreciate all the questions. I will definitely take some of the other questions that were asked, as far as certain things like differentiating between the decentralized exchanges and the technology that they might have. There were a number of other, you know, comparison between ETH, NEO, and EOS. I can definitely do some of those things as well, but I did pose these questions today. So, you know, something like a true research comparison of Ethereum, NEO, and EOS is definitely going to take a little bit more time and a little bit more research than some of the questions I just answered. So I appreciate the questions. I will definitely do some more research on answering a couple other ones. Thank you guys so much on Twitter for those. If you are new to the YouTube channel by any chance, I would love for you to hit the subscribe button and the notify bell. I do daily videos on the subject of cryptocurrency, as well as YouTube Live Crypto Happy Hours. So I'd love to have you join for those. If you are listening on the podcast, I would thoroughly appreciate any ratings and reviews, whether you're on iTunes or if it's on Google Play or Stitcher. I would really love any ratings and reviews that you could potentially provide there. That helps me significantly to get that information out. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Have a good one. Peace.